Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
Historic preservation advocates are applauding city officials for committing nearly $400,000 to stabilize two 19th century buildings in the Cobblestone District that were ravaged by fire earlier this year. Bernice Radel, executive director of Preservation Buffalo Niagara, hopes the community takes note of the lessons learned from the blaze that is being investigated as an arson.
And the fact that it's still standing says a lot to the integrity of the structure and the brick. And also, I've said thank you to all the firefighters I've seen. But again, if anybody listening, thank you so much for fighting that fire, because it was dangerous.
The future of the structures at 110 and 118 South Park Avenue will likely be determined in court, with current owner Darrell Carr saying they should be demolished to allow for his development plans. According to Radel, buildings located in historic districts are eligible for historic tax credits. She says that's likely still the case, despite the fire damage. Tourism spending is on the rise in Western New York. That's according to a report released by a state-owned corporation, which found that Erie, Niagara, and Orleans counties all saw visitor spending grow by more than 11% in 2023. Last year also marked the first time that Niagara County drew in more than $1 billion in tourism spending, after increasing visitor spending by 11.7%, counties in the north of Western New York appeared to have fared better than those in the south, as tourism did grow in Wyoming, Chautauqua, Cattaraugus, and Allegheny counties, though only slightly. Investigators believe they are close to solving the 20-year-old unsolved murder case of Yolanda Bindix of Jamestown. Chautauqua County Sheriff James Guatrone says after sifting through hours of interviews and evidence, his team of investigators has ruled out former Jamestown police officer Michael Watson.
Cooperated fully with the Chautauqua County Sheriff's Office investigation. Also reviewed and analyzed evidence from the victim's vehicle. Vehicles belonging to Watson, a vehicle belonging to Carl Cart's girlfriend that he was in possession of on the night of August 10th, 2004.
Clarence Carl Cart now remains the sheriff's office's sole remaining person of interest. Cart is the father of Bindix's youngest child and was seen on video surveillance at a gas station across the street from Bindix's work shortly before she disappeared. The city of Buffalo will conduct emergency stabilization efforts on two buildings in the Cobblestone District after the Common Council voted to approve those measures by a vote of 8-1. The council said the stabilization efforts are part of the city's, quote, commitment to preserving public safety and addressing long-standing issues with the site. The vote comes about 2.5 months after the historic buildings at 110 and 118 South Park Avenue went up in flames. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms is investing in the fire as a arson. The city is trying to take control of the properties through eminent domain against the wishes of the building's owner, Darrell Carr, who wants to demolish them. The stabilization efforts are costing the city $395,000.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying grifts find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
Well, medical residents at UB-affiliated hospitals are continuing their four-day strike this morning as both sides of the negotiating table are blaming each other for the inability to make a deal. In a statement, UMRS, which employs the medical residents at UB-affiliated hospitals, said they had offered salaries that were, quote-unquote, virtually the same as those being proposed by the union. But employees, like second-year internal medicine resident Steve Moran, says UMRS is mischaracterizing the negotiations.
While they have brought forth a salary which is, in fact, essentially equal to what we've asked for, they've offered nothing to improve our benefits or improve our working conditions. Don't let them play you all as fools. UMRS knows we're asking more than a higher salary, and they just don't care. Sunday was the night for UMRS to show up and avert this strike, to provide us with something resembling a fair contract.
Striking UB residents will be marching this morning from Buffalo General Hospital to the Jacobs School of Medicine at 11 o'clock, saying the action comes after a year of ignored petitions and requests. Well, this morning, corner stores across Ontario will begin selling beer and wine and ready-to-drink cocktails. Some critics have raised concerns about student access to alcohol, but as correspondent Dan Karpinchuk reports, Premier Doug Ford says he has full confidence in convenience stores located near schools to sell their beer and wine responsibly.
The expansion of beer and wine sales in Ontario is a campaign promise that Doug Ford made during the last election. adding that the province is the only jurisdiction in the world where beer or wine is not available in a grocery store or a convenience store.
We're going to make sure it's convenient for people and be treated like everyone else in the country. Be treated like everyone else down in the U.S., North America, everywhere. You can walk into a store and pick up a can of beer, a case of beer, a bottle of wine, ready to drink. And that's why we're doing it. We're keeping our promise, and we're going to move forward on this. And it's overwhelmingly popular.
Recently, Ford announced the closure of 10 supervised drug consumption sites in Ontario because of their proximity to schools. Cannabis shops also cannot set up within 650 feet of a school. Ford was asked why beer and wine sellers won't face similar limitations.
Last time I checked, the convenience stores don't have needles lying around the front of their stores, and they're well-equipped. They've dealt with everything from tobacco to lottery tickets, now beer and wine, and they're going to be very responsible.
But the move isn't sitting well with the province's secondary school teachers union. They fear students will have too much access to booze. And the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, or CAMH, has also weighed in. Here's Dr. Leslie Buckley, the chief of addictions.
And really feel like this is a choice of convenience over Ontarians' health and well-being. We're really worried about violence and domestic violence, which is already seeing increases, and we know how linked that is to alcohol. We're worried about DUIs.
Doug Ford says there may be a few bumps along the way, but he's shown no indication to change the plan. And already there is talk that some convenience stores, like the 7-Eleven chain, will allow consumption on their premises. Mark Goodman, vice president and general manager of 7-Eleven, says some locations will include a dining area.
Our first two stores were Niagara Falls and Leamington, Ontario, and it's been very well received by the local customers in those two cities in particular. And we've also done this in Alberta, where we have 20 licensed restaurants. That is something that we're going to continue to grow and expand.
So today, Ontario marks the largest expansion of alcohol sales since the end of Prohibition nearly 100 years ago. It also comes during the same week that hundreds of thousands of students across Ontario return to their schools after summer break. For WBFO News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto on the Canadian Beat.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.